Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris, coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. Well, she's back. That's right. The hardcore carnivore herself, Jeff Prilus. She won't be Prilus very long, though. She's about to become Mrs. Somebody. But we're still going to call her Jess Prilus for this. We're going to find out what Jess has been up to this past year since she's been on the show and what she has learned from her travels and adventures. And because she's deep in the heart of Texas, no, we're not playing Bob Wills. We're going to play Heart, actually, the girls from Seattle. Also, we'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef for sponsoring this segment of the show. Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Jess Prilus, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's lovely to talk to you again.
So what have you been doing? Now, it's been like 14 months since I talked to you. I checked it out. And and you've been
doing a lot.
I've been
traveling all over as usual. I was in last month in Amarillo and Tulsa teaching grilling classes, and I've been in Australia. I'll actually be in Australia three times this year doing beef related activities, which is a pretty great travel excuse, quite frankly. But we had a new seasoning come out early in the year. We keep growing the hardcore carnivore empire, and there's just a bunch of exciting stuff going on. And there's a pretty big announcement by the time this goes to air, it'll actually be out. So I can talk to you about that too.
Absolutely, we want to hear all about it. But first, I want to know what you have learned in this last 14 months.
You know, that's a great question. And I think the point is that we never stop learning. People like myself sometimes are referred to as, you know, experts or influencers or whatever it is. And you can't and shouldn't rest on your laurels. One, because you have a responsibility, I think, to always be exploring new techniques and new proteins and just understanding more. But two, if you're really into cooking like we are, you should just be naturally curious and naturally hungry, use the pun.
Sure.
to cook more and learn more. And actually just got back from an incredible trip to Mexico City and Monterey, which was really a foodie discovery trip with a chef friend of mine from Fort Worth, Juan Rodriguez. And we had, barbecue cabrito in the traditional manner. We explored all of the tacos, and I got to walk through markets and see new ingredients. And it was so inspirational in terms of getting ideas for how to bring them home and use them in the meat world.
How was the smell? And there's a reason I ask you that question. Excuse me.
What in particular?
In the marketplace in Mexico City. Because when I first trip to Mexico, that wasn't just a college prank, you know, dashing across the border and back. But the first trip to Mexico, it was in Mazatlan, and we went down to, they had an open market in that. And I remember the incredible smells of the peppers and the seasonings and the vegetables and the meats and the fish and all this. And some of them were pretty pungent and some of them were very pleasant. But that's why I ask you, what about the smells of the market?
Yeah, I think that I'm probably used to what to expect. So it's more the visuals for me that are much more sort of a feast your eyes situation. You know, these chili stands that just have rows and rows and rows and rows of chilies we've never even heard of. And, you know, and you hit the meat market section, and as you mentioned, you can certainly smell it coming.
Sure.
But these giant, like, bricks of chicharron sitting there, and these tiny suckling piglets, and nothing's behind glass, nothing's, you know, under, behind a sneeze guard or anything like that. It's all just out there and hanging out because, you know, it's fresh product and they're going to sell it that day. So it's interesting to also just see how the rest of the world works. I think it helps us as people and cooks.
Yep, it does. It does. And I find it interesting that the one thing that I, towards the end of the day, I'll put it this way, I wouldn't buy the fish. So.
Well, we did walk into one particular market, and they had a big, like, milk crate full of already cut skirt steak that were just in the crate, and the crate was on the ground, and some of the meat was kind of, you know, being seasoned by the sidewalk. So
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that you might not be brave enough to try.
Yeah, you have to have the proverbial cast iron gut to get through that stuff. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying I've been there. I've seen that. And somebody tried to feed it to me once and I passed. So
good call.
We've got three or four minutes here before we have to go to break. Jess, in the cooking aspect of it, when you talk about techniques, I think we've advanced a lot. We've advanced a lot in the 5 years that I've been doing this show. And I'm just not talking about me personally. I'm talking about the whole barbecue and outdoor cooking manifestation throughout the North America. But I think we're learning more and more, and we're going back to older traditional techniques that we're kind of relearning and then we're reapplying. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
I think so too. I think people are getting really kind of, I call it like a Columbus syndrome, you know? So it's like people looking for new cuts that people, you know, what else on the animal can I smoke? Or what else can I discover about ancient cooking? Or there's also so many new players in the market in terms of cookers. And, you know, pellet grills have exploded in popularity, and that's bringing more people to the fold, no matter, you know, whether you're for or against or however you feel about them. It's bringing more people into the barbecue and smoking world, and everyone's getting super curious about it. And I think for a lot of people, too, after you nail a brisket, which is one of the biggest challenges that you can have when you're learning to barbecue, you then start seeking out other challenges and other inspirations. And I definitely think that entails, you know, there's a lot of barbecue tours and crawls and pilgrimages that happen for people to discover the old ways. But I think there's also a lot of stuff going on where people are really trying to discover new things or push the envelope. Or there's a great restaurant here in Austin called Leroy and Lewis, and he does a lot of stuff with kimchi as well. So very traditional barbecue cook in terms of the method, but his chef flavors that he's pairing with the barbecue meats are totally new.
I find that interesting because on a personal note, my daughter is home from New York and she loves kimchi. I like it. She loves it. So when I've done some tri-tip or brisket or whatever, and the next thing I know, she's got some of it like the next day in the pan with some kimchi and maybe a tortilla or something. And she's I just let her do it. You know, when she's 26 years old, what the hell am I going to do? Stop her? But she's mixing this up, and it's really an interesting combination of flavors when you do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, it works perfectly. Like, we're already using pickles, which are sometimes fermented, but definitely pickled with vinegar, because that bright vinegar clears your palate between each kind of fatty, smoky bite. And the kimchi does the same thing. So it's the same as kind of going to Mexico on that food immersion. You know, there's so many different cuisines and ingredients out there that can certainly pair with what we traditionally know as barbecue. Like, I'm super excited for people to get out of the shackles of just a super sweet red sauce and see what else they can find.
Absolutely. And speaking of continuing, we're going to continue this interview with Jess in just a few minutes. Barbecue Nation will be back with Jess Prilis and myself right after these messages. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with our guest today, Jess Prilis, the hardcore carnivore lady herself, who's going to be a Mrs. Carnivore shortly. There you go.
Technically, yes, but don't expect a name change.
I got it. I got it. Well, you know, my wife did that. I mean, now when she signs her name, it's like a half a foot long on the page because of her maiden name and stuff. But it's all good. You know, real quick, if you'd like to email us, it's barbecue, BBQ at salempdx.com. That's BBQ at salempdx.com. You can find our shows in a lot of the different platforms out there on social media. Probably the best one, though, if you want to listen to all the shows without the commercials, is you can go to SoundCloud and you just look up Barbecue Nation with JT and it'll be there. That's pretty much got an archive of most of our shows there. And we're going to break 100,000 this week on downloads and listens. So that's pretty cool. Also, Facebook, you know, all that stuff. But let's get back to talking with Jess. What about your new seasonings? Tell us about those.
Oh, so we had congratulations on the downloads, by the way. That's a really big deal. That's wonderful.
Yes.
But we had a new seasoning come out in April, and honestly, it's probably my new favorite. I use it on everything. I actually took it to Mexico with me to use on things. It's called Michelada, and it was our first collaboration rub. So I'm lucky enough to be the spokesperson for Lone Star Beer, which is here in here, of course, in Texas. And we kind of wanted to create a traditional Texas beer salt rub. And we also wanted that rub to be able to season meat. So it's basically a really interesting chili lime with a lot of brightness, a lot of citrus and natural lime in there. You can use it to dress a beer. I use it on skirt steaks to make carne asada. I use it in avocado to make guacamole. People are loving it on chicken wings. It is one of those, like, it's an all-purpose that's not an all-purpose, but I'm using it on everything. And in fact, my best friend here ended up finding a little shaker on a keychain, and he fills it up and always has it on him. Like, if it's one of those in case of emergency, like the little Tabasco bottle.
Yep,
so
yep.
That might have to be the next step for me because it's pretty addictive stuff. So I've been thrilled with, of course, how it's tasted, and everyone else seems to agree because it's become one of our new top sellers. We're super, super duper proud of that.
You're going to have to send me some so I can get my own keychain deal going there.
Oh, absolutely. I might even be able to bring you some. I should be coming up to Portland to visit my family up at Gerber. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
Yeah, good. We'll look forward to seeing you when you come up there. And by the way, yes, I am familiar with Lone Star Beer. So
okay, good.
I just
call it the National Beer of Texas.
Yes, and I think the first time you were on the show, we talked about when you found a armadillo that wasn't doing so good on the road and it expired. You propped him up and put a Lone Star in his hands, you know, like that. That was I remember those days. I'll just put it that way. So
Well, they're a great company to work with, and that actually is a great segue into that kind of secret announcement that I was talking about earlier, which will not be that secret, but I have actually just signed on with Kingsford Charcoal as a spokesperson. So me and Chris Lilly of Big Bob Gibson Barbecue, who is a legend by no other name.
Sure, sure.
And he has already been representing that brand for a very, very long time, and I'm just completely honored to kind of be his brand mate now, and that's a huge kind of, you know, work hard, believe in yourself deal. So we're really, really excited about that one.
Good for you. Congratulations.
And, thank you.
And I don't know Chris personally, but highly recommended. That guy is highly recommended. So,
he is one of the nicest people. He, Tuffy Stone, are like, if they ever had a competition, like a nice off, I'm honestly not sure which one would win.
I guarantee it wouldn't be me. So,
me either.
No, I might make the first cut, and after that, no, they just go sit in the corner, Tracy. You're done. So anyway, you originally were from Australia. You still go back there on frequent occasions, but how it's been a while now since you've done that, and it's been a while since we've talked to you again. So how's your adaptation to becoming a Texas cowgirl moving along for you?
I think I've adapted pretty well. I mean, look, honestly, getting to be the sort of face of Lone Star Beer is kind of out there, but I would say it started, there were steps along the way that I definitively identified. Getting my first barbecue pit and making sure it was an offset smoker, and the one I have is made in Houston, and then launching Hardcore Carnivore and making sure that was certified Go Texan. Of course, being a huge football fan, the kind of like the real sort of last piece of the puzzle for me was when I finally got a truck last year. So I could already two-step, and I was already drinking Lone Star, and I think when you put all of those elements together, the legitimacy became real.
There you go. So just what boots do you wear? Justin's, Lucchese's, Nakona's, Hondo's?
I've got some Justin's that I absolutely love. So very, very comfy, and I'm not going to tell you how many pairs of boots that I have because it's a little bit obscene. You need the knife ones and then the barbecue ones, right?
Yeah, no, I'll go with you on that because when I used to do a lot of the rodeo and the horse show stuff, I'll just put it this way. I'm down to probably less than 20 pairs now, for the cowboy.
Oh,
coat.
That's good for you.
Yeah.
Do you have to go to support groups for that or?
I have to bite at a stick. And, my wife holds my hand or something like that, so I don't go into delirium tremors. But, yeah, it's tough getting rid of them. It's over the years. And we still go, once in a while, we still go through to rodeos and stuff, and I'll go by and see a display, and I go, man, look at those boots. Those are cool. And I'll start talking to them.
Yeah, those nice-looking boots right there.
Yeah, And anyway, that's not much about barbecue for the listeners, but it is kind of fun because at one time, I think I had about 45 pairs of boots. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're going to be back with Jess Prilis, and I promise we're going to talk more barbecue right after this, right here on Barbecue Nation on the Envision Radio Networks. It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033, 503-982-2033, at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Networks. We'd like to thank everybody for listening today and welcoming us into your radio world, into your ears. How's that? Also like to thank our folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef for some of the best beef you can ever wrap your lips around. It's Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Check them out at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Don't forget to check out SoundCloud. You can find the shows there, Barbecue Nation with JT. And if you'd like to email us, it's barbecue, that's BBQ, at SalemPDX.com. There, whew, got it all in. We got Jess Prilis with us here. How has your techniques changed, your cooking techniques?
I don't know if they've changed. I've got to tell you, I mean, I barbecue will always be incredibly special in our hearts, but I've just been doing a ton more grilling. Of course, it's summer right now, and that's the season, but I really do enjoy, and I think most barbecue folks out there do grill as well. We just, put it under one big umbrella, even though sure. We know they're both different things.
Sure.
But I really do enjoy getting to treat the protein in whichever manner it should be treated. So whether that's a long, low, and slow cook, or hot and fast, a bit more caramelization rather than smoke. And that's kind of been a big shift, I suppose, in my technique. And I guess just again, like, pairings, what kind of sauces, what kind of sides. I've noticed myself, like, it's all very well and good to cook a tri-tip or to cook a brisket or cook some steak, but we always have to prepare something on the side as well. So what can complement that in addition to sort of this perfect meat cookery?
Mm-hmm. I found that my sides have become more creative. I've got a set of standards. Okay, when I say standards, I'm talking about standard recipes that I use. So if you're going to cook brisket, of course, I've got beans that go with it, or I've got potato salad or coleslaw or something like that. Okay, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. fine. But I've also noticed that I've started to add, the last few years, different dishes, sliced tomatoes with different things. More fruit concoctions that I come up with. It's not so heavy, I guess, is the way to put it. Because, barbecue by nature, especially with beef, is a little bit of a heavier meal. And then you
whip, it's very rich.
Yeah. And you lay some baked beans on there, and you lay some white bread if you're in Texas or the South on there, and you've got some potato salad or coleslaw. So I've tried to lighten things up a little bit, just a little bit. I don't want to lose the traditional flavors and stuff, but I have tried to do it with more fruits and vegetables on the side. Your thoughts?
I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense. And you get in moods when all you want is a giant bowl of mac and cheese in front of you. And then there are days where you're like, I know this is shocking, but it's like, you do actually want a salad on the side. We're yep. talking about sides here. The star of the show is still the meat, undoubtedly.
Right.
It is just, especially, when you mentioned that fruit stuff, I've been playing around a lot with kind of the weird nectars and juices in the grocery store, because there's pineapple and there's guava and there's all sorts of interesting flavors that, particularly with pork and chicken, work really well.
Yep.
So that's another area that I'm exploring in terms of those lighter, sweeter, but more unusual flavors.
I've done it more with ribs. One of my standards, I mean, you and I have never actually got to talk about this, but when I'm doing, I did an event this last weekend. Was company mm-hmm. party here. But one of the things that I always do is I always start one of those deals with chicken legs, because people will come by and grab a chicken leg, and even after they've eaten their main plate, so to speak, they may get hungry or something. They'll still come by and grab a chicken leg later. Little kids will grab a chicken leg, type thing. So
that's a great idea.
So I just kind of do that, but I've learned that with chicken, I use a lot more citrus, but I stay away from lemon, because I think lemon's been highly overused in recipes over the past 15 years, 20 years. So I use orange, or I may use star fruit. I may use anything in combination with pork or chicken. And to me, it's worked out very well.
Orange is a very classic marinade for carne asada, you know?
Yes.
And especially when you buy citrus right in the season, it's not even that acidic. It really does bring a lot of sweetness. So, and I think that you know, I kind of feel, JP, like some of your listeners might be like, what are these people talking about? I did not tune in to listen to a show about fruit. But the reality is, this is all about pairings. You know, if you like applesauce with your pork, the chances are that you're going to like another fruit with it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you love to eat like we all do, you should definitely get excited about exploring new ingredients and new flavor pairings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you go to your local Kroger, Safeway, Heeb's, whatever, depending on what part of the country you're in, it doesn't matter. But like you were saying, you've got a ton of new juices, pre-made juices, in the produce department. They've got coolers in there now, and you can go in, and like you said, you've got guava, and you've got cranberry. Of course, that's been around for a long time. You've got pomegranate. You've got all these things. I can't name them all off the top of my head, frankly, but you've got all of these things that are at your disposal to either serve the actual fruit, or you can use the juice, and you can make a glaze with it or a sauce with it, or you know, put some tequila in it and use it as a shot mixer. I don't care, but there's you've got lots of options is what I'm saying. And it's, it really brings that fresh. And like you said earlier, the palate cleansing, it helps with that and helps with the pairings that when you get done with the meal, I'm lecturing and I'm sorry, but it's, you get done the meal, you go, man, that was really good. You know, I've never.
No, you're not. One of the reasons that new Michelada rub has done so well, because there's so much bright lime in there. Instead of just being like heavy cumin and heavy chili,
right,
it's the balance. And that's what I try and do with all the seasonings. And I honestly believe that's the reason they're so popular. Because it's not just a big sugar bomb. It's really different to everything else that's out there.
Yep. No, I agree. I've had people that make sauces. They send me some. They're all good. They're all good. Some are fit my palate a little better than others. But again, some of them can get pretty heavy. And I almost think of them like when I'm thinking of it, I'd say, okay, I would use this sauce at a tailgate party in November. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use this sauce in the middle of July. And that's right. Just the way my mind works. And sometimes people say my mind doesn't work, and I would agree with them. But the point being is your pairings are also very seasonal at times. And I'm not sure that people think about that.
They are, and they should be. They absolutely should be. And for me, that really comes to head during hunting season. You know, when we start harvesting venison, you start thinking about what's in season. You know, are you doing the last of the cherries? Some blackberry sauces to go with that as well. Mushrooms, all those fall flavors, you know, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
Seasonality in food.
Yeah. No, it is. It's all good. And I like the fact that you said you were grilling more. You know, when I first started this show, I had a few people kind of get after me a little bit. Not on the radio side, but the listener side, because I wasn't talking about the conventional low and slow. And I said, there's only so much you can do with that to make it entertaining to listeners.
Yeah, I honestly think that there's also an element of there are people who get so obsessed with the technique of smoking.
Yes.
That it becomes to them above everything else. It's like, you know, people are like that with sous vide, that water bath cooking too.
Yep.
Well, I don't want to have to limit myself to any one style of cooking, period. You know, I think that's narrow-sided and it's kind of boring. And I love barbecue and I love smoking and I love what you can bring to food by using it. I love what the smoke can do. And the challenge of cooking, especially in an offset pit and watching that muscle transform into something incredibly delicious and tender. But you gotta love just as much. You know, I prefer my steaks not smoked. I like grilled steaks.
Yep.
And that's not a dirty thing.
We're going to take a break, and Jess and I'll come back and we'll solve all the mysteries of mankind when it comes to cooking right after this, right here on Barbecue Nation. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We've got Jess Prilis. The hardcore carnivore herself is with us today. A couple of quick things. Don't forget, at KCBS, the Royal is coming up here in September. So that will be fun. We'll be bringing you some stories from that. Also, Jess may be up in this neck of the woods coming up in September for little meetings with Gerber Knives and stuff. So maybe we'll get her out on the town, so to speak, if you're here in the Portland area. And if you're not, if you're not the rest of our affiliates, I'm sorry, but you'll have to wait your turn. So anyway, talking with Jess Prilis here. Yeah, you know, and we're talking about different types of cookers and grills and stuff. And I tell people, honestly, that I have no problem with gas grills. I have no problem with charcoal grills. I have no problem with stick wood grills and cookers. And I have no problem with pellets. I just use them for what, when I'm cooking, what I think they do the best job on as far as the protein or vegetables. That's the way I look at it. And a majority of the people, the majority of the people, Jess, in this country use gas grills. They don't use.
They do. And you know, for me personally, when I started to get into meat cookery, I went straight to the charcoal grill.
Right.
And I do, I'm not here to hate on anyone else's choice, but I will tell you for sure that you cannot match the flavor of charcoal with a propane unit. You just can't.
No, I know.
Plus, I like the control. I think that's really important to learning to be a great live fire cook as well. You know, the problem with propane, of course, being that you're limited by the BTUs of your unit.
Sure.
Whereas, I've been, in fact, at Hawks for the Cause in New Orleans, I was out in the middle of a field somewhere with three cinder blocks and an oven rack, and we turned it into a grill.
Yep.
And that's all you need.
That's all you need. No, we've done that many a times. I mean, cinder blocks or a circle of rocks or even a couple of rocks. And if you've got a grill grate there that you can put on, you're in business. You're ready to go, and it works.
Absolutely,
I like it. No, I just the statistics show out or reflect or whatever that with 75 million people plus that actually cook outdoors, barbecue, if you want to use that term, in this country, and then that. More than half of them use a gas grill. So I'm glad to hear that you don't, kind of look down your nose at that. Because some of the people don't believe that that's actually barbecuing. And it in the traditional sense, no, it's not over a grate in a live fire. I get that. But we don't want to run these people off either.
Right. We don't. It is an inclusive family. It is all about that. People come to me in particular, and they do ask my opinion and thoughts on things. And
sure.
I've never been shy to share those. So I think the key is be honest with what you recommend and endorse to people, but don't exclude anyone as long as we're in it for the love of the game kind of thing.
Sure. No, I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, you may love to cook, in a Weber kettle, so to speak, but maybe your living conditions or maybe where you're at the moment, you can't do that. So cook on a gas grill, cook on a pellet grill. I don't care. Just cook something and have some fun. That's what I'm all about. It's important. It's very, very important. We're just going to wrap up the radio version of this segment of Barbecue Nation, and Jess is going to stay with us for the after hours. And like I said, we've got the KCBS Royal coming up next week. Also, Charlie Reimer, my old buddy from the golf side of my life. He's going to be on Barbecue Nation. He's going to be talking about some of his cooking. He uses a Big Green Egg and some other types of cookers. And he's going to be talking about a brisket I sent him that he cooked, and also a low country boil. If you don't know what that is, you're going to have to find out next week. That's on Barbecue Nation. Jess, thanks for being with us, and stick around for the after hours. And folks, we appreciate you listening. Stick around for the second hour of the show coming up. And if for those of you who don't get it, you can check that out on SoundCloud, or stick around next week, and we'll have lots of fun for everybody. Camaro Dave and Commander Chris and myself, we wish you a very good weekend, and get out there and cook something. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.